Hello, this is the Archaeology News Weekly. We're sorry for the disruption to service, but we're back on track again. This news is brought to you in partnership between Stone Pages and the British Archaeological Jobs and Resources website. All the stories have been collected from various sources, and to view details on each story, including the source, please see the Stone Pages website at news.stonepages.com. And now, the main headlines from around the world are as follows. The houses of Stonehenge's builders have been found. A Bronze Age burial site is unearthed in Wiltshire. Rare ancient footprints are found on a Welsh beach. Cotswolds Public clubbed together to save Bronze Age gold for a local museum. And Cornish Ancient Sites Protection Network announces its aims. Druids call for burial of ancient remains in the UK. And the anatomy of an Iron Age murder is opened up to the public. An ancient site is partially destroyed in Albuquerque, while an ancient Pakistani site is vanishing bit by bit. Finally, there is fear for a prehistoric Welsh site, which is currently under development. British archaeologists have discovered the homes of the ancient people who built Stonehenge, a massive settlement near a river that will likely open up a new important chapter in the study of the world's most famous monuments. Excavations at Darrington Walls uncovered remains of ancient houses. People seem to have occupied the site seasonally, using them for ritual feastings and funeral ceremonies. In ancient times, the settlement would have housed hundreds of people, making it the largest Neolithic village ever found in Britain. The dwellings date back to 2600 to 2500 BCE, according to the researchers, the same period that Stonehenge was built. But some archaeologists point out that there are problems dating Stonehenge itself because the stone circle has been rebuilt so many times. Consequently, archaeological material has been dug up and reburied on numerous occasions, making it very difficult to assign a date to the original construction. But Mike Parker-Pearson and his colleagues are confident of a link. In what were houses, they have excavated the outlines on the floors of box beds and wooden dressers or cupboards. The Sheffield University researcher said that this was based on the fact that these abodes had exactly the same layout as Neolithic houses at Skara Brae in Orkney, which have survived intact because, unlike these dwellings, they were made of stone. The researchers have excavated 8 houses in total at Darrington Walls, but they have identified many other probable dwellings using geophysical surveying equipment. In fact, they think that there could be at least 100 houses. Each one measured about 5 metres square, was made of timber with a clay floor and a central hearth. There haven't been many excavations near Stonehenge in recent years, and the new work will stimulate exciting new theories in coming years. But we shouldn't forget that Stonehenge became special when people brought the stones from Wales, 250 kilometres away. Some of the answers about Stonehenge aren't just to be found at Darrington, but perhaps further afield. It was just another day at work for digger operator Bob Gaunt until he spotted something which resembled part of a shattered chimney pot. But as this was Tidworth in Wiltshire, England, on the edge of Salisbury Plain and not far from Stonehenge, he immediately realised its potential significance. Mr. Gaunt jumped down from his excavator and told his boss, who alerted experts from Wessex Archaeology based in Salisbury. They revealed that the mysterious shards of pottery were burial pots or urns placed on the graves of 3 Bronze Age people, cremated some 3,500 years ago. The pots have been placed upside down on top of the graves. The remains of another person were found nearby. The relics date from around the time when Stonehenge was at its peak as a magnificent cultural and religious centre. They're the oldest archaeological finds from Tidworth and were discovered when Mr. Gaunt was demolishing an old military building at the Burtpoor Barracks in preparation for new army accommodation. The site was closed for 2 days, enabling Wessex Archaeology to remove the urns and the remains to a laboratory. They're now being studied to establish the age and sex of the dead. Using radiocarbon dating on fragments of charcoal from the funeral pyre, experts hope to get a closer dating of the finds. Nick Truckle, project manager at Wessex Archaeology, said that as the graves are so close together, this small cemetery may have been a family one. A beachcomber claims he has found ancient human footprints dating back 8,000 years embedded in an ancient Welsh peat bed. Steve Maitland-Thomas was walking along the Kenfig beach with his friend John Blundell when they found a number of ancient size 8 footprints. He said they found the first on January the 19th, the day after storms had whipped up the sand, revealing the bedrock below. The peat beds were formed from the floor of a vast forest which once stretched across the valley which now forms the Bristol Channel, until sea levels rose approximately 8,000 years ago. The next day they found about 10 more footprints going in both directions, along with smaller ones which could have possibly been made by a child. These prints are deeply impressed into the surface, which illustrates their antiquity, as the peat beds are now almost rock hard, having been under tons of sand for the last 6,000 years. They've only recently been revealed and will be covered with sand again, hopefully within the next month or so, thus protecting them. Bronze Age gold will remain in the Cotswolds in England after residents raised £20,000 to buy it. The jewellery, dating back to 1150 BCE, was discovered by a metal detectorist, Steve Taylor, while searching in the Cirencester fields in 2004. The town was set to lose the treasure as plans were made to put it on the open market, but the Corinium Museum got hold of the cash in the nick of time to make sure it stays in the county. Now the 59 historic items will be put on permanent show for visitors to the Park Street attraction. Museum curator John Paddock thanked the public for keeping the treasure trove in Gloucestershire. He said that they were grateful for all the support received, and they had everything from children giving 50p donations to much larger grants. Mr. Taylor's find will net him half the cash. The rest will go to the landowner. The collection includes hair pieces, necklaces, bracelets and rings. Mr. Taylor unearthed the largest hoard of buried Bronze Age treasure ever discovered in Britain, and it took him 3 weeks to find the lot. Mr. Paddock said that the gold pieces provided valuable clues to how people lived in Gloucestershire during the Bronze Age. The hoard is being stored at the British Museum in London, but will go on show in Cirencester in the summer. The Cornish Ancient Sites Protection Network is a registered trust that aims to protect and conserve the Cornish ancient heritage environment for everyone to enjoy and appreciate. They facilitate and promote research and educational activities and work closely with local communities to foster a feeling of ownership of ancient sites and monuments. The trust relies on support from its members and volunteers. If you'd like to get involved, please consider joining the Friends of Cornwall's Ancient Sites, or come along to one of their volunteer site clearance days. Site clearances currently take place every month in the West Penwith area, organised by the Ancient Sites Maintenance Coordinator. The Cornish Ancient Sites Protection Network targets those sites that in most need of care and conservation, and the work typically involves removing any rubbish and debris and clearing the site of damaging scrub and vegetation to enable native flora and fauna to flourish and ensure year-round accessibility. Volunteers of all ages and abilities are always welcome, and tools and gloves will be provided on the day. If you'd like to come along and help them, contact Dave Monday on 01736 787 230 or email him at dave@cornishancientsites.com. That was dave@cornishancientsites.com. Modern-day Druids are demanding the reburial of a child skeleton displayed in the Stone Circle Museum in Avebury in Wiltshire. The Council of British Druids backed up their request with a small ceremony at the Alexander Keeler Museum. The child skeleton was discovered during excavations at the North Ditch at Windmill Hill in 1929. Dubbed Charlie, or Charlotte, is one of the most popular exhibits at the museum. Now, the Order of Druids, the group that celebrates Mother Earth and holds solstice ceremonies at Avebury, wants the skeleton reinterred. Mr. Davis, reburials officer for the Council of British Druids, is in talks with English Heritage and the National Trust. There are guidelines for the reburial of Christian remains, but we want equivalent rites for our dead, he said. Experts say that it's likely that many skeletons, skulls and other human remains in British museums will have to be considered for reburial. In Australia, the Aboriginals, and in the US, the Native Americans have successfully fought for the return of ancestral remains. Now, the National Trust and other museum authorities in the UK could face a similar barrage of requests. David Thackeray, head of archaeology at the National Trust, and Sebastian Payne, chief scientist at English Heritage, issued a joint statement saying that human remains have a unique status within museum collections and should always be treated with respect. They have had a very constructive meeting with representatives of the Council of British Druid Orders and will be assessing their Avebury request very carefully, following the process set out in the Department of Culture, Media and Sport guidance. They said the decision would affect museums nationwide. Leading Avebury archaeologist Mike Pitts said that he was sympathetic to the request of the Druids. The issue of how we handle and display human remains in museums is of great importance. Paul Davis from the Council of British Druids said that he was sure their request would be successful. The discovery of 2,000-year-old human remains at Lindau peat bog in Cheshire, England, more than 20 years ago, sent shockwaves through the Wilmslow community and sparked a murder hunt. A year later, archaeologists returned to the peat farm to examine the relics of an Iron Age man whose well-preserved body lay buried there for centuries. Lindau Man, as he later became known, went on to become a national treasure at the British Museum. And for the past 20 years, historians, archaeologists and mystics have all had their say on this gruesome discovery. Now it's time for the public of Wilmslow to pitch in with their own thoughts and reflections about their infamous son. As Lindau Man returns to the Manchester Museum for the third time, curators want to hear the views of local people about the find, where they were and how they remember the story unfolding. Public consultation prior to the exhibition is already underway and should rekindle memories of 1983. Research showed Lindau Man, also affectionately known as Lindau Pete, has been a healthy young man who had been murdered with savage ferocity. Firstly, he had been bludgeoned three times, possibly with an axe. Then he was garrotted. The axe blows or the garrote alone would have killed him. But at this point of death, someone also plunged a long, thin blade deep into his throat, possibly to rapidly drain the body of blood before he was symbolically drowned. His body was freeze-dried and has been on display in the British Museum for all to see. The temporary exhibition at Manchester Museum will run from April 2008 to March 2009. I wonder what the Order of British Druids will be thinking about that one. Crews working on a waterline for a new high school in Albuquerque's west side in New Mexico, USA, have destroyed part of an archaeological site. A University of New Mexico archaeologist, Bruce Hucknall, said the site is possibly up to 10,900 years old. He says the site was the first proof the presence of fulsome culture in the Albuquerque Basin. Pieces of tools, teeth and bone fragments have been found at the site, which was discovered by Hucknall 8 years ago. He says Albuquerque's public school district realized part of the site was damaged in August when the waterline work started. Huckle says the district had carefully located the school around the site, but he also says the district didn't think about the location of the utilities for the school. Now that sounds like a need for a bit of joined-up thinking, perhaps. The ravages of time, lack of interest in preserving history, plus traditional indifference of government bureaucracy have all but ensured that the 4,000-year-old ruins of Jukar Jodaro, 8 kilometres away from the city Larkana in Pakistan, remain no more than ruins. The main stupa has been left perforated and worn out by visitors frequently touching and climbing up and down in the absence of any effective check by the authorities concerned on their movements. The twin menaces of waterlogging and salinity too have wreaked havoc on the stupa, and the hitherto unearthed mounds around it spread out for 40 acres. Many parts of the site have been encroached upon over time due to sheer negligence of the archaeological department there, which has not even bothered to post a site attendant to guide visitors round. Uncontrolled cultivation of paddy crops too have contributed to the destruction of ruins by raising the water table level, which has in turn resulted in salt collection over the remains. The site is divided into two mounds, 300 feet at a distance from each other. What makes Jukar Jodaro most peculiar is the fact that it spans both the prehistoric and historic periods. This outstanding feature has given it the edge over Mohenjo-Daro, which was only a prehistoric site. There are serious concerns over the site's condition, and it's feared it might disappear over time if the department concerned does not take any concrete steps to preserve it. The department should at least install barbed wire fencing around the site to stop people's entry and to protect the stupa and other remains so far uncovered. Experts and residents near an Anglesey archaeological site, earmarked for hotel and commercial complex, claim it is in danger of being lost forever. Enterprise Minister Andrew Davis has ordered that the development of Tai Moor on the outskirts of Holyhead is a crucial to regeneration there, but there are concerns that historical finds may still lie uncovered. the Assembly government said the development was a high priority to counter job losses in the area. Tai Mar has a number of important scheduled monuments, including the Trefignath Burial Chamber. An archaeological assessment is going on at Tai Mar before development work gets underway. Neil Johnson, an archaeologist with the regeneration agency Mentor Mon, said that the significant finds have already been found in the area and there could be more. The main interest at Tai Mar is a roundhouse settlement probably dating from the later prehistoric or the Romano-British period. Work on that has not yet started, so its significance has not yet been properly evaluated. The Gwynedd Archaeological Trust, who are the site's archaeologists, say that some interesting enigmatic features have come up which look to be prehistoric, but will need confirming by some scientific dating. When planning consent was granted for the site, one condition was that an archaeological assessment should be conducted. This concluded that construction must be shown as absolutely vital to justify any major archaeological loss, but one local resident and objector, Simon Mills, says that in his views the site was being despoiled and questioned the way the Assembly government manages Wales' historic heritage. Can I remind people that many new archaeological and heritage employment opportunities, as well as a UK heritage calendar, a library and guidance section can be found on Badger. That's www.bajr.org. More can always be found on Stonepages at news.stonepages.com. And please have a visit of our new sister site, Past Horizons, at www.pasthorizons.com, which fills you in on volunteer opportunities in archaeology around the world. Thank you very much for listening to Archaeology News Weekly. We hope you return to us again next week, and I can assure you, I'll be here.